just a few verses. Actually, I'll start at verse 1 to get us caught up. It's been 2 weeks. 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Lord, I thank you again for your word. Thank you that we can have this opportunity to gather around it. Lord, for your blessing, I pray, for your spirit to work among us. Lord, thank you for the good report we heard this morning of just your work through your people in Rwanda. And Lord, these encouragements of what your spirit is doing with the gospel of Jesus Christ and your people around the world. And so, Lord, thank you for that, that you're touching hearts and lives. And so, Lord, at times I look at our community, why can't you touch hearts and lives here? Are we is our society so burned out from the gospel that we can't respond? But Lord, your spirit is mighty and great and can do all things. So Lord, for those things that you do overseas, that we are encouraged with, we do pray that you would do here as well. And Lord, start in our hearts. Start in us as your people. And work through us to others who need to know Jesus, please. Lord, thank you. We pray again for our country, for those over us in a few weeks, that we are going to have some important elections. Lord, you're still on the throne. We acknowledge that, and yet at the same time, you allow the nations of men to make decisions that affect them, but Lord, you're still in control. So we do pray for the best for our country, and Lord, for how our country can affect others around the world, because there are so many things going on, so many hot spots on our world that you are aware of, Lord, more than we are. So again, Father, we just pray. And Lord, thank you that you know our hearts and our lives. You know our needs, be they physical, be they emotional, be they spiritual. That you're the one who we can call upon, and you are faithful. You are faithful to your people. You are. Great is your faithfulness. You are faithful. So Lord, help us in that, to avail ourselves, to come to you as your children. Again, Lord, your blessing upon your word as we come to it. And just help us to understand, help me to understand what your word says. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter writing to encourage. Remember, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ was a brand new message. It was out in the smorgasbord of idols and religions of the first century time. And the people who were responding to that to begin with were minorities at best, and probably even small numbers. But in a culture that it was a foreign thing, this new teaching of the God who made all things sending his son to save us. New. So when the gospel goes out, obviously the devil doesn't like it. So Peter writing to these groups of Christians in a scattered area to encourage them. Because there's two things that we've seen from the letters of 1 Peter and now 2 Peter that the devil can do to shut down the gospel. And of course, the first is simple, persecution. It's persecution. And there are places around the world where if you become a Christian, you take your life in your hands, literally, and you do it knowing that. We don't have that here, do we? You become a follower of Jesus Christ, it's like, but what kind of persecution can you get here in our culture? Lots. Call it disdain. Call it cold shoulder. Call it, you believe what? You know, how incredibly unintelligent can you be? You know, like, get real, get a life. So various forms and degrees of persecution. That was the theme of 1 Peter's book, because they were facing it in all those different levels. Very relevant to our time. All times, all cultures. 2 Peter. Okay, so the first, the devil wants to put on the heat to shut down the gospel. Persecution. Doesn't want people coming to Christ. So if that doesn't work, then we come to 2 Peter. And the second way the devil generally uses to shut down the gospel and to cripple Christians is confusion. Oh, how relevant is this? Confusion. Let's mess with their minds as far as what Christianity is. Let's muddle up the message so that people will get, what? Well, but you believe this, and that church believes that, and this and that, and you guys can't even agree with each other, so it's all. And then to confuse the minds of the Christians. And so in 2 Peter, the first chapter, he writes to encourage them on how strong is the truth of God's word. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. It is the word of God. It is true. We can bank on it, live on it, trust it. It's true. It's the word of God. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, rather than the truth of God's word, 2 Peter 2 is the error of man's word, the falsity of man's word and man's ways. And especially man's ways being false teachers, but false teachers don't have to be religious. To be false teachers, you can have the church of Oprah Ben-Wahbi, or whatever his name was from Star Wars. You know, may the force be with you. Hey, some took that as oh yeah, that sounds spiritual. Well, folks, if you don't know it, spiritual is in, religious is out. And even more than spiritual, religious is nothingness, and I don't care. I read the term apatheist. I don't care. Apatheist. Apatheist. God, whatever. Church, whatever. Bible, I don't care. That's it. Great book that I have, studying with a group of pastors, The Rise of the Nuns. Not N-U-N-S. The Rise of the N-O-N-E-S, the fastest religious or non-religious group in North America right now. The fastest rising, N-O-N-E-S. Don't care. Apathy. So, the error of man's word, the error of man's ways, deception, 2 Peter chapter 2, a wolf in sheep's clothing, still a wolf. And so Peter, again, writing to encourage, to inform them. And so we come to 2 Peter chapter 3. This is encouraging. 2 Peter chapter 3, the theme of it, the main big truth, the return of Christ. The second coming, the return of Christ. And that's encouraging. That is encouraging. Oh, going through everything that they were going through and that other Christians through all history have gone through. It's like, no, wait a second. It's going to come to an end. You don't have to, at some point, you won't die to go to heaven. It will all be over. Christ will return. And as the old Negro, or is it now African-American spiritual, used to put it, soon we'll be done with the troubles of the world. It'll be done. It'll be over. So very encouraging. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. The blessed hope. Paul would write, the return of Christ. So you get down to verse 3, and he mentions scoffers. And we looked at this two weeks ago, scoffers. Think of smiling disregard. Good for you to believe that. That's nice. Now, a pat on the head, here's your biscuit, go back to your intelligent nursery. Smiling disregard. Scoffers who will come, who think this, fairy tales, child's play. An intelligent person doesn't buy in to stuff like this. Get real. scoffers. That's the meaning of the word. So they attack the word of God, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise? The promise. They're attacking the word of God. A promise. Wait, who made the promise? The promise of his coming. Again, I didn't, you didn't, Jesus did. I will come again. Where is this promise? So attacking the word of God, attacking the honesty, the integrity, and the character of the person of Jesus Christ, where is this promise? The truthfulness. But they also attack the work of God. Because in verse 4, all things continue. All things continue. They attack the work of God. Everything just keeps rolling it along. Nothing big ever happens in history and in life, and therefore it won't. Okay? The word of God and the work of God, all things just continue. Now, the Bible clearly states that God is very active. He's been active in history. He touches the mountains, the earth trembles. He has made fire to come down out of a blue sky. He pushes the deep water of a sea apart so that a people can walk through on dry ground. He appears in the flesh, calms a storm with his word, heals scores of people at one time. Scoffers? Never happened. See, the Bible says God is very active. So what is their problem? How can they so casually dismiss the mighty works of God? And verse 5 brings us to the key of it. So I want to look particularly at verses 5 through 7. Verse 5 at the start. For this, they willfully forget. Now, I don't know how good your rememberer is. Maybe your forgetter is better than your rememberer. That's one thing to forget, you know. Oh, okay, is it old age? I don't know, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. You know, get that, I forgot. I'll go back and get it. You know, I forgot. Okay, so there's one thing of forgetting. That's not what this says. They willfully forget. It's kind of like two words that you wouldn't like to put together so easily. Willfully forget. Willingly. Willingly are ignorant of. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all godliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth, or it actually means hold it down, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They willfully or willingly forget. Put it out of mind as a conscious choice. I don't want these things to be true. This is the perspective of the scoffers. I don't want these things to be true. I don't think they are. I especially don't like the idea of a holy, righteous God that I will have to be accountable for and actually answer to at some point after this life is over. I don't like that idea, and I don't believe it, and therefore, because I don't believe it, therefore it's not true. And if you don't think that's real in our culture, that we now get to determine what reality is because it's whether I believe it or not, that makes it real. It is out there. I don't believe that. Therefore, it's not real. What? Where one comedian on some show used the word, coined the phrase, truthiness. No, not truthfulness. Truthiness. which is basically whatever you want to believe is the truth is the truth. And thank you, Wikipedia, because now we have 51% going, these are the facts. And so we now have truth by vote. Right? So don't bother me with facts. My mind is made up. I believe what I believe. That's it. And what I believe is what's true. Okay, so we won't have to go with the error of that kind of logic, but that's the way a lot of people think. If it is true or not, or if it is true or not, it doesn't matter. I don't care. You believe what you believe, I believe what I believe. Two things Peter says, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, two big things they willfully forget. The first is creation. Verse 5. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water. Creation. That by the word of God. And here the scripture is consistent with itself. Out of Psalm 148, verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Out of Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33, verse 9, and he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. See, the scripture is consistent all the way through the entire Bible. And God said, by the word of his mouth, spoke, let there be. And that came into existence, which was not there, except by the fiat, by the absolute power of God to create something out of nothing. Now you'd say, wait a second, not truly something out of nothing, because there was God. He was there before, that's something. So that's, but absolutely, taking nothing, speaking into nothing, creating. But they willfully forget because they don't want to. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Isn't it interesting how Peter brings out water? I won't go into this in this creation. By the word of God, the heavens were made, earth standing out of water, in water. You know, according to some general, it's more and more in the news now, water. They are determining there's water that they found trapped in places on the earth, which is water, which is now older than earth itself. You would say this water is older than dirt. Okay. All right. So you didn't like that. Anyways, it is literally they're finding water older than dirt. Now, how can that be? But they're the ones testing water, because it goes right back to Genesis chapter 1. It's interesting. By the way, do you know what comets are? Comets, you know, asteroid is a chunk of something, but at the heart of a comet, it's just a big ball of ice. Well, where did that ice come from? Water, frozen. That's the major mass of a comet, ice ball. Put that in your pea shooter and shoot it. Anyways, won't get into water. All these verses I read, Psalm 33, you know, my question is always, I won't get on a tangent here, because I've done a study, maybe sometime, Lord willing, we'll do it, first 10 chapters of Genesis. My question is always, for those who go, why did God take 6 days when he could have done it in much less time? Why 6 days? But he did. You know, what's really interesting, and here's where it gets sad, is that through history, I came across a great article, just did the parts of it, from Tim Chaffee, 4 ways to destroy the creation account. 4 ways. Because, you know, it wasn't, not until the 19th century did both Christians and Jews begin rejecting, 1800s, the plain understanding of Genesis, the first couple chapters of creation. Not till the 1900s. Before, it was like, that was the general understanding for Christians and Jews. God created. And then in 1804, a Presbyterian minister, Thomas Chalmers, introduced what is known in science now as the gap theory. So if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the start of verse 2, and the earth was formless and void, he came up with the idea that there was this amazing amount of time between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Now, the reason he came up with this idea in the early 1800s was because evolution, long time process, was starting to be recognized as accepted science. So we had a way to put what the Bible said together with this accepted science. Gap. A gap of millions of years between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. The gap theory. Another offset of that historic creation was that the heavens and earth were formed over millions of years of time, and then on 6 days, God created the plants, animals, and people, all that. So it was just kind of rough material, and then in the final 6 days, he sort of finished it up. That way you could have a long amount of time, and then historic creation. And then you had your day-age theory. An Anglican clergyman, later on, still in the early part of 1800s, the days of Genesis 1, the days are long days. Long. So that when God said, let there be, it took him millions of years to do that, because each was a day. And even Charles Hodge, in his systematic theology, was caught into that. Long days. Then progressive creation. The days of Genesis were long periods of time. But in that long period of time, along the way, God created this and then that. Still another variation. And then you have the framework. The framework thought was Genesis is more poetry than history. Read it as poetry. And then that brings us to one that there are evangelical Christians that are holding to today more and more. It is known as theistic evolution. God created everything. He just took a long time to do it. So it doesn't matter if it's here and then, ooh, long time, and then here. Or if it's here and then here. Or if it's here. Or if it's here. So in other words, God, theistic evolution, God used evolution to create everything. His hands were tied. It still doesn't do much to, and God said, let there be. So how Christians can get off on this? By the word of God. And then the second thing, creation, 2 things. The second thing in 2 Peter 3, verse 6, is the flood. See, these are examples of where God was active, very active. But the second is the flood. And you can go back, if you want to, Genesis chapter 7. It'll give you a lot of information about the flood there and just the springs of the deeps and the water from above and the raising of the water even over the tops of the mountains. What's the mountain range that's the highest on the face of the earth? Is it not the Himalayas? What is it? Is it Himalayas? And there are all kinds of seashells, prehistoric seashells found in the ices of the Himalayas. Now, it's interesting with the flood, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter's very particular because at verse 5, you have the word earth standing out of water and in the water, earth. But then in verse 6, you have by which the world, two different words. Because the earth wasn't destroyed by flood, but the world on the outside of the earth, the surface, was all destroyed. And the word is ruined. It was ruined, absolutely, by the water of the flood. So there goes your local flood idea. It was just a local flood. No, covering the earth, covering the world. So these two things, ruined. So creation showing God's power, His wisdom, His intelligence, and His greatness. Creation. The flood, showing God's power, but also His righteousness and justice, because the flood came because of man's wickedness. And God saw how great was evil on the face of the earth, and even the intent of the thoughts of mankind was only evil continually, all the time. Genesis 6, about verse 5. One passage in the Message. Human evil was out of control. They thought evil. They imagined evil from morning till night. Out of control. That's how it was. Except for Noah, and then to his family. But the rest. And so the flood, as a judgment upon the wickedness of man. See, creation shows the goodness of God because everything that He created was what? It was good, and then on the last day after six, it was what? Very good. Very good. The goodness of God. But the flood shows the holiness of God. That even His patience comes to an end at some point, and He does not take sin lightly. He just does not. So these two things, you have the scoffers, they willingly forget. So today you have, I believe in a God of love, right? He never hurt anybody, right? Well, I don't know what kind of God you believe in, but my God is a God of love. He just wouldn't hurt anyone. You know, He's the senile old grandpa who is sitting on his rocking chair. He can't hear so well. His eyes don't work so well. And you know, it's like, oh, boys will be boys kind of thing to humanity, who would never hurt a flea, who would especially wouldn't ever think of punishing a murderer, a child abuser, a serial rapist, a fornicator, the sexually immoral, the greedy. Look in 1 Corinthians 6 or Galatians chapter 5 if you want more of a list. He wouldn't ever think of hurting them unless they were really bad. No. Really bad. According to somebody's definition. But for the rest of us, nah, you know, God is love. And so that leads us to verse 7, because they willingly forget these things. And what they willingly forget in the past leads us to what they don't want to think about in the future. And that's into verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition for ungodly men. So what is preserved to keep, kept? All things are upheld by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3, carried along. Colossians 1:17, in Christ, all things consist, are held together. Consistency here, preserved. God is holding everything together to what will be, verse 7, now preserved, are reserved. Sounds the same, but it's different, isn't it? To preserve and to reserve. To guard by keeping an eye on. Now, you know that's not your preservatives, which are in the basement, canned away and all this kind of stuff. Preserved. You don't guard them by keeping an eye on them. These are reserved. These are Peter and John back in Acts chapter 4 preaching the good news of Jesus Christ and his love for us, and then getting put in jail and then brought out by the Pharisees, Sadducees, Jewish religious leaders. What are you guys doing? But they were put in jail, in custody. And it's the same word. To guard by keeping an eye on. Custody. Now reserved. And he says, reserved for what? For fire. Reserved for fire. He'll get more into that later. Reserved for when? For the day of. There will be a day. The day of. And then reserved for why? For the day of judgment, which is justice and the decision and perdition. We don't use that word too much, do we, anymore? Perdition, it means ruin as well. Okay, remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You can say it with me if you want. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Should not perish. There it is. Perdition. Ruin. Same thing. See, God doesn't go for, oh, I believe in the annihilation. You know, somebody goes to hell, there might be pain, but the fire's just going to burn them up kind of thing. No, that's to destroy. That's if you have your house of wood and you take the match to it or something happens. And hope it doesn't. And it's like, well, it used to be all wood, and now it's nothing but ashes. That's destruction. God is not saying should not perish. It is should not be ruined. Oh, I have my log cabin, my house out in the woods. It's all wood and all that stuff. A terrible storm goes through, gets crashed, gets mangled by trees, gets everything. It's a heap of garbage right now. Unrepairable. It's ruined. That's the word. Not torched, destroyed. It is ruined. Should not perish. Same thing. Ruined. So here, for what? For the judgment and ruin of ungodly men. Now the scoffer again, it's reasoning. What they unwillingly forget. Creation? Nah, not really. Flood? Nah, not really. Judgment? Not really. See, scoffer, since there is no God and the universe created itself, there might have been ice ages, but there was no real worldwide flood. And the final judgment is an idea created by some people to make bad people feel guilty. Or is it guilty people feel bad? It was created by them. So, basically, truth is reduced to how you feel about it. Truth. In their minds. But God's word said, He made it all. He judged it all at one point with water. Peter will come into this more. He's not going to judge it by water anymore. He will judge it with fire. Now it'll be fire. Since he promised the rainbow, never again will water destroy the world. It'll be by fire. He will do it. And where will we be? Where will you be on the judgment day? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, these are... It's amazing. I'm always amazed, Lord, how your word is so timeless. People, languages, cultures may change, and they're different even now, but your word always speaks to the heart of people and the thoughts of lost mankind, and they've never changed. They've never come up with anything original. So even back in Peter's time, those who just wanted to cast a blind eye, Lord, we don't want to. Because we know you've been active in times past, and you're going to be again. But thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, that through him we may have rescue. Through him we may have eternal life. Lord, I just pray for anyone here that's is not sure. Lord, help them to be sure on this. Talk to me or someone they know to be sure. But Lord, thank you. Lord Jesus, you're coming again. And time as we know it will not be. And the world as we know it will not be its way anymore. And so we look forward to that which will be so much better. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be your people here and now for the glory of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, take your hymnal. Turn to number, I think it's 437. I do like to end with this because there's so much you can do with this, the meaning of this 437.